Talker Podcast. What's going on, everybody?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms, people.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast on Instagram.
That's right.
As you can see.
Uh-oh, look at this.
We have a very special guest in the house.
Yes, we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Lex Vegas. He is
He's about to go down the
a fellow comedian.
Yep.
A show creator. A radio podcast host.
Yep.
A retired professional wrestler.
What?
A father.
See.
And a producer. And a, can I say rapper? Cause you do you still put out songs?
Every now and then I might drop a few bars, you know what I'm saying?
Don't make me get on this motherfucking mic.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
And rapper, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lex Vegas.
Yeah.
Give it up to him.
That's right.
I know I'm
gonna
clap for myself.
100%.
You know what?
Where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Where can they find
you? Let's see, man. You can find me on all social media platforms. On Facebook, it's Lex Vegas, LexxVegas. On Instagram, it's Lex Taught Me. On X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, it's LexV520. You can probably find me at your baby mama house eating your kids' snacks. Ooh. I want to definitely thank y'all for keeping your child support paid so she can get the good snacks. I ain't got to eat the Save a Lot brand, you know what I'm saying? So, but you find me there too. But as of tonight, you're gonna find me on the Midnight Paco Podcast,
baby. That's right.
And you can find me every Thursday night, Redline Radio, 7 p.m., man, the Lex Vegas Show.
That's right. Yeah. I'll put a link in the description so they can find that shit.
Yes, sir.
And if you haven't already, please don't forget to hit the like and the subscribe.
Ooh, yes, it's coming right here.
Second. Matter of fact, right this second, man. Right
Let's
this
go.
Second.
Let's go.
Appreciate everybody out there listening as well. Y'all don't see him, but if you don't, Get on YouTube so you can check out what we look like. That's right. Because we be listening all over the world.
Y'all don't know, but
people listen all over the world.
Yeah.
On Spotify, right. Pandora, iHeartRadio.
It's a big deal, man.
You know what I'm saying? So they listen all over.
Apple Podcasts.
They listen more than watch, to be honest.
Did you say Pandora? Because that's one of our biggest.
Yeah.
Episode of the Midnight Paco Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
That's right. Nobody has no idea the fact that me and Justin has like a large overbite, and
yes, they do. All the fucking clips, trust me, they seen it.
And I discovered a way to eat pizza without burning the roof of your mouth. Mm. Just give yourself an underbite.
No, because he burnt the shit out of his mouth.
It don't matter.
Like, you know, as soon as it came out the oven, he burnt his shit up. Because this dude don't wait. He don't blow on it. He don't do shit.
Pause. Right in his mouth. No diddy.
100%. Fucking burns the roof of his fucking mouth off right away.
That's pizza is worth it. But you know what? It ain't about me and burning my mouth.
No, it's not. Lex, but you bring it up all the time.
Yeah, because pizza is the bomb.
It is.
Okay. But we got Lex Vegas in the house.
Yeah.
And I learned something new about Lex Vegas is I didn't know that he was, you know, a professional wrestler.
What?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, come on, man. Like, when you ask a young boy what he wants to be, is he the Superman, the president, Spider-Man, or a professional wrestler? You know what I'm saying? It's either one of those things. And he actually was doing it. I saw the footage.
You saw the footage.
Saw he was doing shit. It. I put the link. You guys send the link.
I'll send you the link.
So I can put the link.
Last highlight video.
Yeah, because
I mean, to me, like, wrestlers are like the only, like, real, like, close to, like, real life superheroes you can get. You know, you watching these dudes flying off the top rope, slamming people.
Yeah. I mean, like, it don't hurt.
Act like it. Look, the only other thing that to me that you I would want to do that I never accomplished in life is slam dunk.
See it, right?
And pick somebody up with one arm like this and hold them up in the air by their neck. You know, and I
well, you can still do that. You get mad enough, you'll do that.
Yeah,
that
I'm sure you can.
I'm trying to tell you, I've done it.
I'm sure you can.
I've done it. You get angry enough, and you will do it.
That is on the bucket list of mine. And Lex Vegas is and be on the Wheaties box. But people like people like Bruce Jenner, he was on the Wheaties box.
Yep.
But he's just saying, F all that, I want to be a girl.
I mean, what he did both.
What?
But he's only with chicks.
Who?
He's only still with chicks. She only has the boobs. She ain't get this chopped off, and she's only with chicks. So, come on, man. What are we...
Anyway, we got Lex Vegas in the house.
What am I doing,
y'all? We got Lex Vegas in the house.
So hold on. Professional wrestler, how old are you now?
I'm 44.
44. Okay, so how long were you doing professional wrestling?
14 years.
God!
14 years.
14 years.
14 years. Now, E44, I'm 48.
So you started in 30 when you were 30?
I started late.
Hey, man.
So
30's a good time.
Who were your wrestler influences? Like, who was you watching and you said, I want to do that?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh yeah,
that was my first favorite wrestlers.
Oh man,
and it was and if you think about it, like, he was very charismatic.
He was,
you know, so it was a lot like Lex Vegas. You know, he was very, you know, he can whoop your ass, but then he can also, can I say it?
Yeah,
you can say whatever you want. I was gonna say it anyway, but yeah. I just want to make sure that y'all, you know, proved it. You know, but no, like he was very charismatic. He had that it factor.
Yeah,
you know, and that was just it. I wanted to be that guy. Like, I wanted to be the guy that, you know, could come at you from any angle. Like, no matter what it is that I set out to do, I was able to do it. And, you know, so I saw Macho Man, and I just loved his charisma and everything. And I was like, I want to be that guy. Mm. You know,
Macho Man was the man.
That was my era.
Yeah. That was my era. After that, you know, Junkyard Dog and all them guys, it was a wrap. I ain't watching.
And honestly,
that,
when I was a kid, I hated wrestling. My father used to make me watch it when I was a very little kid, like, you know, like 5-6 years old, and I was like, "This is so stupid." But the more he made me watch it, the more I started to like it, and then I became like such a big fan. Like, I was in school writing book reports on wrestling and everything.
Really?
Like that. It was one of those.
Okay.
And then once I found out that, you know, there was independent wrestling, like, you know, locally, like in, you know, in the city. Yeah, you know, I got involved, and it just kind of skyrocketed. It was one of those things. There aren't many. I say this, and some people will understand it, some people don't, but there's very few black people in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
There are far less niggas in wrestling, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but there are certain people that you can connect with. You know, just because we are the same ethnicity doesn't mean that we're going to connect.
Right.
But then when you see somebody that came from your neighborhood or a neighborhood like yours or and had that same upbringing, you see that they do it now, it's more of a connection.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
your Booker T's and your R-Truths.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, those guys, you know, they may not be like the best wrestlers ever, but you connect with them. You see something
in them.
You know, it's whether it's the same thing like what you do with comedy. You know, there are certain comics that when you hear them, their material or their backstory, it matches is yours, or it reminds you of yours,
right.
And you gravitate to them. They may not be the best,
right,
but they're the best in your eyes.
You're relatable. Right. You can personally make a person.
I always wanted to make sure that I was, you know, personable and relatable to, you know, especially, you know, I came up, you know, I grew up in the hood, you know, I was a single black mom, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I wanted to be able to relate to people who came up like that.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
So that was it. And it just kind of skyrocketed and took off. We got, you know, I had a couple looks. I got as far as I did a few matches for Ring of Honor,
okay.
Which is, you know, like, that's, they're maybe like three. They used to be maybe three steps maybe two steps down from WWE.
Okay.
So, you know, we did a few matches for them. Got on TV a couple times. I got an email from WWE just for them to tell me I was too old. I was happy that I got the email. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, I got something. When I saw something that came from WWE on my email, I was excited as hell.
That's dope.
Hey, man, I tried out for Seawolves when I was like, and it wasn't Seawolves. It was a farm league for... Yeah, Seawolves, which is a farm league for the Detroit Tigers. When I was like 18, though, you know, that was one time. And then I think I wanted to try out for like something else, but it was like you said, too old. That's why I played semi-pro. Fuck it. There's motherfuckers that were old as shit playing semi-pro. I was like, I still have a chance.
Correct me, Jay, if I'm wrong, but your dad told me, like, when you tried out for the Seawolves. You had these kids coming out there with equipment, personal trainers and bags and stuff. And then you came out there with some cut off shorts and a baseball glove. Talk about like, yeah.
And some sneakers. I ain't had cleats.
Like, I'm here to try for the team.
God damn
like,
right.
Yeah. So, hey, it don't matter, you know, if you like, go for it. Like, you know, like this brother right here, I've seen him personally do the radio show. I watched him do that. I saw him host.
Right.
I saw him do comedy. I saw him for the first time him do wrestling.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
I didn't know about that.
I was like, hey, I do this too.
Yeah, so it's like, there's nothing this brother, you know, can't do. And he just goes out and does it. Like, what was the motivation behind, like just going out and trying and doing things? Like,
I was a very shy kid.
Okay.
Growing up, like when I was very young, I was very shy. And then I just kind of got to the point where it's like, what makes him better than me? And I just kind of got to that point. And so it's like, okay, well, I don't know how well I'm going to do at something unless I try it.
Right.
I was very good at baseball in high school. Mm-hmm. And when I tried out for my very first baseball team, it was a summer team. I had never played baseball a day in my life. Mm-hmm. But all of my friends from my class were trying out for the team. So I said, okay, I'll go too.
Right.
And the first day, I sucked ass. Mm. I was terrible. But because I had never done it before. Right. But I went and I practiced. And everything that I do, I take as a learning lesson. So I'm like, okay, well, this is what they had me do. They had me trying to hit the ball, and I couldn't hit it, so teach me how to hit it. They had me trying to catch the ball with this glove. I don't know what I'm doing, so right. Teach me. And then I went back, and, you know, I practiced, and I practiced, and I practiced, and I ended up making a team. Mm. And I made the team over a couple of guys who were in my class that were on the team the year before.
Mm. Wow.
And so it was like, okay, well, you know, what makes them better than me? Like, I made the team, and I didn't know nothing about it.
Right.
You know,
right,
and, yeah. But that also taught me that you just got to try.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know how well you can do something until, you know how much stuff I try on my show, my radio show. I'll try something, and if it work, fine, we're going to roll with it. If it don't work, I'm like I never did it.
Right, you know, right, man? Right.
You just move on.
You try, you never know what people will gravitate
to, yeah.
100%.
You know,
yeah.
I tried the whole Mr. AKA thing. That was just something I did one day. Like, I started my show and I said, yeah, this is Lex Vegas, AKA this, AKA that, AKA that. And somebody liked it and they said, hey, you should do that again. So the next day I did and I added two more. Okay. Oh, that's dope. Okay. But then I started getting messages. Hey, your new AKA should be this. You should be that. So now it became a thing and it became a part of me.
Run it down right quick. Let us know what it is.
I can go to all. It's Lex Vegas, AKA Smarter Than Fly, AKA the Dirt Diggler, AKA Peter Popoff, AKA your baby mama's boyfriend, AKA Jake from State Farm, AKA Titty Scent, AKA El Coco Loco, AKA the HNIC, AKA I can keep going if you need me to, y'all. Hey, I don't know how much longer of a show y'all got.
It's however long you want to be.
it was one of those things where it just happened. Like, I've actually done a show one time and I told people I was going to do 100 of them. And I literally sat there and read off 100
AKA.
You know, and it's one of those things. But I've always considered myself a man of many faces, so that's where the AKA came from.
That's a good memory.
Like, I'm here, I'm there, I can do this, I can do that, I can put on whatever face you need.
Did you do that on your stage performance?
Mm-hmm. Of course I do.
Okay.
Of course I do.
All right.
You know, so, and you try stuff. If it worked,
right,
you roll.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it don't, 100%. You try something else.
Right. Yeah.
So okay, you got the wrestling, and then so I know you through comedy, and I always thought you kind of did comedy. I know you promoted, you know what I mean. But I, you know, even the night you did, you said that was like the third time you were on stage. Mm-hmm. So obviously, doing promotion, is that why you kind of got into comedy as well? Or
yes and yes. Okay, it was more so like just being around you guys.
Okay,
you know, the comics. You know, my whole thing was I started my show to provide a platform for people who didn't have a platform.
Okay,
right.
And so I just got it in my head one day that it was just an idea. And I said, I want to spotlight independent comics. I want to, you know, like, I didn't know that there was this many comics in the area.
Right.
I didn't know that there was that.
Right.
You know. And so I started, and the more that I started being around the comics, you know, eventually, when you gonna get on stage? When you gonna do your thing? And I'm like, cool. I'm good where I'm at. But then I had a birthday party. I had a birthday last year. My birthday is May the 20th, and I had it happened to fall on a day that I do my usual event.
Okay.
So I had the event, and then we did my birthday party. And I said, okay, since it's my event, my birthday, I'm gonna get up and do a set.
Okay.
You know. And I did, and it was okay. To me, it was okay. Everybody said they liked it.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, to me, I'm my worst critic. Like, it took me forever to even think I was funny.
Yeah.
I just had this conversation. It took me just realized that I'm funny. Like, I never thought I was funny. I just thought I was a silly dude.
But I mean, that's what we all are. We all make people laugh throughout the day, this and that. You know what I mean? You figure if they can laugh, I can make other people laugh. But you realize when you go on stage, it's a completely different fucking thing.
What made me know I was funny was when I made my mom laugh.
There you go.
My mom came to one of my shows, and I told a big long joke about my mom while she was sitting there, and she told me, she was like, you were pretty funny. And I was like, okay, that must mean I'm funny, because I was like, moms ain't gonna lie to you.
Right.
Mom's gonna tell you,
my mom loves everything I do.
Mom is a gangster. Okay, I tell you all the time, my mom is a 4'10" gangster.
Really?
Okay, my mama would tell you, don't do that no more.
Like, okay.
Shout out to mom.
Absolutely. I shout my mom out every chance I get.
Yeah. Hey,
mama.
So that was the first time. Did you like prepare and write shit down, obviously, and this and that?
You know, I sat there. I did a few open mics, you know, just before then.
Okay.
You know, to try to, you know, just to see how it felt, you know, to be actually on the mic and in front of people and trying to. My hardest thing is I'm always afraid I'm going to forget the joke. I'm going to forget what I'm supposed to say.
Right.
But, you know, I'm very repetitious.
Yeah.
Like, I'll sit there and you'll see me. Some people think I talk to myself, but I might be just going over the joke and but I'm talking it out like the way that I'm gonna say it. I do it for my show. Like, when I'm sitting there going over a subject, I'll write it down the way that I'm gonna say it on the show, and you'll see me like kind of mouthing it because I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna deliver it. So, you know, I tried it, you know, I did that a couple times, and then I just went up and did it, and it, you know, it kind of went well.
Right.
I keep saying, people say it went very well. I just say it went well.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, we're critics. Yeah, yeah, that's just how it goes.
And I just kept popping from there, and it just kind of kept growing.
Yeah. Once you start doing it, you get more comfortable. You know, I mean, you're able to expand to get. You know,
I mean, I'm not on Cool C or Justin Fuller's level. But you know, I mean, I'm trying.
No, but you know. See, this is what it is. Like, when you see a brother that's like a creative mind that's doing something. You know, he's putting on shows in the city,
right,
in a city that definitely needs some entertainment.
Absolutely.
Not saying that
good shows too.
We need to, you know, get compensated for something, but you know, it's like you putting on for a city that needs, you know, entertainment, needs to laugh when so much serious things is going on. This is definitely a brother that's doing something positive.
Oh, 100%
in the city. You know, he's doing his radio show. Tune in if you're not already.
7 o'clock, Redline Radio, every Thursday.
Like,
please do it. And if you see anything with his name on there, you know it's gonna be a good show, because he's one of these people that's like conscience and like wants to, you know, he realizes that his face and his name is the brand, so he wants to bring a certain type of quality to you.
Absolutely.
So you're gonna get a good quality show, and you know he's gonna have good people on that show.
Absolutely, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm definitely down for that. So as far as the comedy aspect, we talked about the wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the comedy aspect, like, who are some of the comedians that locally or you know, famous, world known, that you know that you watched?
Well, my favorite comic, I make no quarrels about it, my favorite comic is Martin Lawrence. I've always been a big Martin fan. I said, I actually got tickets to it when he come. He's coming to Cleveland on the 3rd of August, and I'm there.
Shout out to Martin Lawrence.
I rock with Martin, man. So he's always been a big influence. Just seeing how versatile he is. Yeah. You know, he can play any character. He can tell any kind of joke. You know, so I've always been a fan. You know, locally, I'm a fan of a lot of independent. I don't really like to say local because local to me sounds stationary.
Yeah,
it sounds stationary.
I only said that.
I'm not saying what you say. I'm just saying I don't. If you ever hear me, like I'll repeat the question, but then I'll say independent.
Okay,
I like to say independent more than local because I do feel like people here have. They're reaching out. They're
absolutely.
People are working right
now. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, people are going to other shows. I just saw you and you guys in PA when I came out to Beavertown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like we're people are moving around. So that's why I don't like to say local
because I get it.
They're not just they're representing Cleveland, but they're not stuck or attached to Cleveland.
Right.
But there's
good hub.
There's a lot of great talent in the city, and when I say in the city, I'm talking about like you got the new ones, you got the Key Sillies, the Timbuktus,
the
Tyrones,
Tyrone killing it.
They are the LOL Briels, the
LOL,
and you got the OGs, I call them. You know, you got the D Hawks, the Rich Greens,
shout out to Rich Greens,
the Rob Allens, the Rob Awards, you know, all of these guys, like the Sean Showtimes, you know what I'm saying, and these are people that I. Not only do I do business with, but I also keep close contact with them. You know, I've called Rich Green many times, say, hey, I need some advice on something real quick. I need to holler at you about something. And he will stop what he's doing and, you know, give me a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
you know, I talk to Sean Showtime all the time. You know, that's my guy. You know what I'm saying? We talk. And these are guys that not only are they talented, but they know the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they're willing to share that game.
Yeah,
and that's the part that I love.
That's
the part that I'm a fan of. Mm-hmm. Is that these are people that are trying to make way for the newer comics. They're not afraid of the newer comics. You get people that come in and they're new, and you're afraid that they're gonna take your spot.
Mm-hmm.
You have your spot,
right? Yeah.
But now I'm gonna help you get your spot,
right? Yep.
You know, and that's the part that I love because that's what I'm on.
Right.
You know, I want to help you get to where you want to go. I want to introduce you to some people that might not be familiar with Cool C. They might not be familiar with Justin Fuller.
Right.
But we gonna get you familiar with them.
Right.
You know, that's the part that I like is the where people can expand. We can work together, and that's you got a lot of talented people. Like I follow these guys. And then you go a little farther out. You know, we got the Akrons, the Kentons, you got the Chevy Terrells,
the Tank.
You got all these Derek Lamonts, the Queen Pennies, these are people who are rocking and killing the stage, and they all mess with each other.
Right.
Everybody rock with each other.
Everybody you name, I mess with.
Everybody
mess with everybody you just name.
Exactly. Because I never realized, even bigger than I got it with professional wrestling. I didn't really get it with music because it's a little more competitive, but with professional wrestling, even with the comedy thing, like it's a big family.
Mm-hmm.
Like people really, they say my comedy family, and they mean it.
Right.
You know I go to Tsunami's. She throws a cookout every 3 months, and she invites me to all of them, and she cook her ass off. So I'm there. Those kind of things. Like these people, we rock with them, and we rock with them hard. You know what I mean? You got the new guys. You got the King Hughes coming out now. You got the Smileys. You got the Kevin Fords.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Marquand Bankses. And these are guys that are putting in the work to get to where they need to go.
Yeah, you talking about the female Smiley?
Female Smiley.
Shout out to Smiley.
She's on my next event. I just had her on the show last week. I actually put her on her first comedy event.
I remember that. Shout out to Smiley, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm on. You know, I walked into a open mic and she was there trying comedy for the first time ever, and I liked her. I thought she was dope, and I said, "Look, I'm gonna put you on." And I happened to be doing an all female lineup, like 2 months later, and I said, "I'm gonna put you on this lineup, you know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna let you rock, you know."
Right.
But that's what I like. That's the part of the game that I like, is to be able to give you that opportunity that you may not have gotten, or you may not have gotten then.
Right. No, definitely.
So, you know, so I rock the CJ Star. CJ Star.
Man, shout out to CJ.
CJ tells me all the time that I gave her a first shot when she came back to Cleveland.
Like
I don't feel like you owe me anything, but I do like, you know, knowing that I set that ball in motion for you.
Right.
You know what? I think CJ Star is like a beautiful spirit.
Absolutely. That's my sister. Right? Me and CJ talk like brother and sister. Like that is literally my sister. When she think I'm being too hard on somebody, or she think I'm being mean or something, she will call me and check me, and I call her. I was like, CJ, why are you acting like that? why are you cussing somebody out? You know? Yeah. But like we like brother and sister, and I love her to death. You know. But and that's, let's say, it's a family.
Yeah.
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 And I rock with all of them.
Right.
Try to.
Yeah. Hey.
There's a couple of them.
Yeah, now. I know.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into that.
Exactly.
So, so if Mount Rushmore is four people, you name Martin Lawrence. Like, if you want to do a top five, that would be easier. Give me a top five of the comedians.
Martin will be first.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big Bernie Mac fan.
Yeah, Bernie Mac.
Trouble.
I was a big fan of Cat Williams' earlier work.
Yeah.
Not too much lately. I just not really feeling the new stuff, but I mean that's subjective.
I got you though. I started watching his newest one.
Right. It just seems like he just kind of. I think like some of them get to that point where they just kind of coast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think he's coasting right now. But I mean that's you know, it is what it is. I'm a big fan of Deion Cole. I think Deion Cole is dope.
One of his favorite bits of his is when he pulls out the thing with the
right. Right. You know, I'm saying like that kind of stuff, like, you know, and then honestly Chevy Terrell. I'll put him literally one of my favorite comics. I tell him and I tell Brielle, LOL Brielle, that they're two of my favorite comics.
Okay.
I just love the way that they work.
Right. Okay.
I love the way that Chevy works. I love the way Brielle is like, Brielle, when I first met her, I was like, this is about to be the most stuck up chick I never met in my life. Like, and it was just more so the way she carried herself. And it was before I had actually met her. It was just seeing her walking around. And she is literally one of the most beautiful souls I've ever met.
Okay.
And then when I see her on stage, I'm like, she is amazing.
Okay.
Because like she just goes and it's so effortlessly. And they, like those two, like we were having a conversation earlier where you said, you know, there are certain comics that people will see on a flyer and just like, I gotta go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I see Chevy on a flyer, I gotta go.
Right.
I see Brielle on a flyer, I gotta go.
Okay.
You know, I see Key Silly on a flyer, I got.
Especially now.
Yeah, shout out to Key Silly.
Think about it now because it's like. Me and her got the same birthday. I bring it up every time. That's what's up. You know, we're seeing all these people now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Out there doing the damn thing.
Working.
Eventually they're gonna be out there. You know what I mean? For the hopes. You know what I mean? A lot of these
gonna happen. Somebody gonna break through that ceiling.
I mean, a lot of them are out there doing it now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're traveling. They're out there doing it, but it's like the world don't know yet. And you know, we're trying to get people there a little bit at a time. You know what I mean? That's the whole process, that's the whole purpose.
Shout out to all our people listening all over the world.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we're trying to do. We put the platform, like when we first started doing comedy, it's like, you know, this was just an automatic because we knew each other before doing comedy. You know, we used to work together, you know, at another job prior to that. So then, you know, we started doing this and it's like, well, I mean, we'd be on the phone for like an hour. It's like, dude, this is a fucking podcast.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast all day. So we might as well fucking do it. You know what I mean?
And so,
you know, to go back to you and everything, it's just everything you've been doing in your life. It's, I told you earlier, it's good to see somebody doing some shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You're trying, you're constantly moving. It doesn't look like you're stopping, and that's what this is all about.
I just feel
about.
Like you gotta try stuff, man. Yeah. You never know. Like it could be something like there's. I never thought I would be doing comedy like that. That never.
Me neither.
It never crossed my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you know, you have that opportunity. You know, It's interesting you say that. When going into 2023,
mm-hmm.
I panicked because I had a very good 22, and I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do to top what I did in 22?
Right.
I had no idea, and then I ended up having an even better 23. So 24 comes around.
Good for you.
I'm just like, I'm just gonna roll with it. Whatever happens, happens. You know, 23 came around. I've always wanted to act.
Mm.
I ended up, I met Ray Adams And he was, you know, he does a bunch of movies and everything. He had a bunch of movies.
Shout out to Ray Mel Adams.
You know, he had Amazon Prime, Tubi, and all that. And me and Ray became real tight. I met him at a comedy event, you know, and we got to talking. And I just happened to message him, really BSing. And I said, hey, man, next time you got a, you know, a part coming up, you know, I'll let your boy. Well, I got something right now that I'm working on. Come through. And I ended up being the lead character in a series that he had, that we have on
the Heroin Avenue.
I ended up being the lead. And that was something that I never thought would happen, but it was, I kept my eyes open.
Okay.
You know, like when you go, when people say, okay, this year I want to be the best promoter I can be. Your tunnel vision now, because you want to be the best promoter. You're focusing on being the best promoter, but you're missing everything that's coming from you. I'm like, I can't do that. Right. You know, because things happen, all these opportunities come. So going into 24, I'm just like, whatever happens is going to happen. You know, and now, you know, things are happening. Things are, you know, and you keep your eyes open and you welcome opportunities, but you got to try.
Yeah, you definitely got to try.
I had never acted before. If you watch the first episode of Heroin Ave and then turn around and watch the fifth episode, it's a totally different show.
Right.
Because the first, we were all new to it.
Right.
It was the first time I had ever acted before. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just doing what it said on the paper.
Right.
Then, you know, as we're going along and we're getting used to filming and everything, and they're like, you know, put a little more of your personality into it. You know, you can add a little bit.
It's hard to get into the character.
Right. But then you rolling.
Once you're comfortable with the people around you and you're able to just let loose and try and get into the character, it's easy to...
You know, it's just like when you first started doing comedy, you were nervous on getting on stage. You know what I'm saying? Now somebody can... You can show up to a show and somebody say, hey, Justin, you feel like doing 5 minutes? Fine.
I got you.
Because I'm used to, I know what I'm doing now. You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm doing, so I can roll with it. Right. And that's the thing. Like, so, but you don't know that until you try.
But you know what? What else?
Oh yeah, we talked about that.
I think that would be like even tougher.
What's that?
Some porn with a room full of people and they like action and you gotta perform and everybody looking at you.
It
seemed like a fantasy job, man. Though
I ain't gonna lie, I done kinda did that. I ain't gonna say the porn per se.
I mean,
I done had some eyes and ears watching. I'm kind of focused on one thing.
But
you ain't
got nobody over your shoulder with a camera like this.
Be a little louder.
Well,
come on, man.
I'll tell this one story. Don't judge me, y'all. Back in my younger backsliding days, I had a woman that I used to work with, and she invited me over to do the thing. I found out that she had a boyfriend that lived with her, and they were into that lifestyle.
Okay.
And they paid me $200 to have sex with her while he watched.
Wait a minute, what's it called? Paul, what's it called?
Cuckold.
And so it was a little weird, but you gotta realize when you sit there I can't see him, but he's in front of her. She's on top of me, and he's sitting there talking to her, and I can hear him. He's right in front of me. It is a little strange, but you know what I'm saying? When you focus on what you focus on, then you gotta go.
I mean,
see, I've never been that type that get camera shy. You know, so I'm blessed.
I understand that. I understand that situation. I understand that situation. That's just for somebody else in the room.
I just think it would be like, for me, it would be like difficult.
If you paying, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, if life's camera action, I think you'd be ready to rock.
It all depends. Let's roll.
It's different.
I don't know.
If you're ready for that lifestyle, you'd be ready. There was this one porn star, I forget who it was. I seen a clip. She was walking, this is a long time ago too. She was walking up and down the street, I guess, trying to get dudes like, you want to have sex with me? She's like, yeah. She's like, get hard right now. See if they can pull their shit out and get hard, like right on the spot. Some people be like, I'm never just so.
See, I'm a black man. See, we born paranoid. That just sounds like a setup to me. You want to have sex with your dick out? No.
There's no way I would do it, but you see.
I'll pass.
That
just sounds like a setup.
Every try.
It's like, as soon as I pull out, y'all going to jump out with the cameras. And
exposure, you got to go.
Like, did you know that she was 14 years old? Like,
yeah, right?
Yeah, like, nope.
It was a definite porn star. It was somebody that was like, I forget. God damn, wish I had known, but it was one of the old.
Was it Stormy? One of the chicks? This
no, I think it was Jenna Fox or one of those chicks. Jenna something.
Okay.
Jenna something.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So
that was just a weird transition. That's usually my shit. I usually take it filthy.
Well, you know, it was just something I thought about, like, you know, because the acting thing, the voice acting thing, and being in the movies. And
so you have time to, like, prepare for some of your scenes and shit like that?
Not really.
No, you
just... The weirdest part, and I told this story on my show, actually. I never actually read the script. Well, but let me explain. I read my parts.
Oh, well, yeah.
But so I didn't know what heroin ad was about. I just knew it was about drug dealing. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, it kind of sounds close.
It does. But what I'm saying is, I didn't know what the story is about. So I'm asking questions about things that are going on. And they're like, dude, did you read the script? I'm like, no.
See,
I focus on my shit. And I read what was around my scene, so I knew when I needed to say or do what I needed to do. But I had no idea. So, like, when I'm watching the show, I'm watching it for the first time like everybody else is.
Okay.
So, I didn't even know what the plot was.
Wow.
Because I never read the script. So, it's like, I didn't really prepare per se. Okay. I just knew what I was supposed to say.
Yeah.
And then, like, going off of watching what's going on before it's time for my line told me how I needed to deliver it.
Okay.
You know. If y'all both hype as hell, then I need to be hype.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
But if y'all talking mellow, then I ain't gonna be all crazy, you know. So it was one of those, but I honestly did, like, I had no idea. The first three there are five episodes and we're about to start filming season two at the end of the summer. But the first three episodes were at the movie theater. So I'm sitting there watching myself on this movie screen and I'm like mesmerized.
Right.
Like, and, you know, I'd never seen this before. And I'm watching this show and I had no idea what was happening. Like, I'm sitting there watching it for the first time, like, and I'm just, and
focus
I'm,
on
and
my,
they're sitting there talking, I'm just, fuck up, I'm listening. You know, like, one of those. It was, so I never really prepared to, per se.
Right.
It was just more so like, I'm just show up and do what I'm supposed to do.
So, I mean, I'm only asking this to hear it come from your mouth, but, like, what is next for Lex Vegas? Or what are you saying, okay, I don't want to do that. I want to only focus on this. Are you open to being on, like, sitcoms? Are you open to acting?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That was always what, when people say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. I wanted to be an actor.
Okay. Good. That was it. Really?
I wanted to be an actor. Yeah. And that was honestly how I got into music, was because in my mind, I'm like, okay, there are, like, no casting companies in Cleveland, or there are no, you know, not a lot of movies get filmed here. Like, some, but not a lot. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, the rappers, they get all the best acting jobs.
Right.
So
right.
If I can make a name for myself there, it'll be easier of a transition.
Right.
To be able to
comedians kind of the same way,
You know what I'm saying? They get the, you know, once you get your name out there, people want to see you anyway. So then you can kind of have a little bit of an easier transition into that other world. Mm. But, you know, so that's pretty much, but I've always wanted to be an actor. So if anything, I definitely want my own show, but I really want to do like some comedies, and I actually want to do like a, I want to do like a love, movie.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you just
like a love jumps, like a chick flick, a
rom-coms.
He just wants
to write some filthy parts in. We're going to film it.
We can do that on Heroin now. I'm the only one in the show that has a girlfriend.
Bro.
You know, wow. So.
Hey,
there it is.
Casting shout out couch. To Sierra. Shout out to Adrian Scott.
Hey.
She plays my girlfriend Sierra on Heroin now.
So have you ever started like writing your own stuff down or?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. I did a few, I call them short movies, mini movies. We did A Pimp Named Dick Back. We did part one and part two.
How long?
Pause. it was, both of them were about 10 minutes long.
Okay.
Both of them were part one and part two.
Because you know what? That just got me thinking, because me and him were always talking about stuff and I know there's a lot of people here that we could have so many characters.
Absolutely.
You know
I wanted to do more than just a skit. You know, like, and there's nothing wrong with doing skits, you know what I'm saying? But it was something everybody was doing, so I wanted to do something a little more, so I wanted to do a mini movie.
Yeah.
And it was just something like crazy silly that I just had one day, and I just started writing, and I started writing, and it came to life. And then I had my dude Dub. Shout out to my dude Dub at the Dub show over at Redline Radio. But I shot, and Dub, you know, he does a lot of filming content. He's a YouTuber and everything. I said, I want you to film this for me. And he came through. I sent him the little mini script that I wrote. He loved it, and we ended up shooting it. And it went over so well that we did the second part. Now the second part in my mind was not as good as the first part because we had to improvise a lot. Some people didn't.
Where can
show
we
up.
Find those?
They're on YouTube right now. Okay. I'll get you the links for them, so you can check them out. Part one and part two are both on. And I wanted, if we decide to do a part three, I want to do a longer movie. Mm-hmm. I want to because it'll be the last one.
How long is a mini movie? I'm just curious.
I said they're both for 10 minutes long.
Yeah, okay. That's what he was saying. That's what I was saying. That gives me a better idea because, you know, we're thinking about like long film movie, but it don't have to be that long.
It ain't
got
to be that long. Just long enough to keep people's attention and tell the whole story and give them a bunch of, you know, we got a lot of different. You can pack a good story in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Know, if you tell it right.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I did all the casting myself. You know, I have a great team behind me. I have my photographer / stylist. Shout out to Peggy.
Peggy.
Photos by Peggy. She definitely made sure that I'm dressed right and everything. She, you know, and I have a good team on me as far as editing and everything like that. So we went and we did it, and it went so well that we did the second one. And now the third one, I said I'll actually do like an actual, it probably won't be a full like motion picture type, you know, hour and a half, but I want to do at least like 30 minutes.
Right.
You know, something that, and then just really capitalize on it.
Right. Yeah, just like a big finale and all that stuff. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It was just something, like we said, it was just something I tried. If you ever watched the Boondocks,
there's a character named
a pimp named Slickback.
Yeah.
So that's where, and me, I'm always like, I talk about sex a lot on my show and stuff like that. So it was a pimp named Dickbag.
I'm a filth.
And, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was like that. And so, like, it was something that the name caught because you knew a pimp named Slickback. So when you heard it, you're like, okay, what is this about? It got to be something about this. You know, and Dickbag is like the worst pimp ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, you just gotta watch it. But it's, you know, like I got my chicks on the street, and they come pay me in pennies and food stamps and stuff. Like, you know, all type of stuff. You know, I'm walking down the street, I trip over the sidewalk. All type of stuff. You know, I got a Cadillac that don't run, but you know, as long as I got a Cadillac, cause I'm a pimp. You know what I'm saying? Hey. It's sitting on cinder blocks and everything.
And we sitting in that bitch waiting on his money.
And that's it. Right. But I'm saying, like, and it's. You know, and I'm like, okay, this is either gonna go really good or it's gonna be real corny. Hey. You know, and you try. And the thing is, you put it out there. Yeah, you put it out there, and if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they'll forget about it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody will know that you put out this whack product, you know, this week. They're gonna talk about this week and next week, and then as soon as something else comes up, they're gonna forget all about it. And you just move on.
Or not forget about it.
Or not forget about it.
Hey, you know what? Not to switch the subject, but you know, I always pride myself and the podcast on our merch and our gear. Unfortunately, I don't have none of it on. Justin got on chat.
And I left my shirt. I got my shirt over there, but I left it on
I left it
in the green room.
We show ourselves all the time.
Yeah, but you don't have it.
I wanted to bring up.
What is it that you got on right there?
My logo. That's a little Lex right there. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
This is my logo, man. You're going to see it everywhere, man. You rarely see me without my logo on something. My logo is on my car. I got watches with my logo. I got shoes with my logo on them. I got Lex Force Ones. I wore them to the funny bum. All right, you know.
Lex Force One. Wait a minute. So the watch you got on is a Lex watch?
This is not a Lex watch. Okay. I have a Lex watch, but this is a Simpsons.
I'm jealous
watch.
Of the Lex watch.
You know, I got a Lex watch. I got T-shirts. I got hoodies. And my license plate has got my logo on it. I got stickers at McDonald's and Taco Bell. If you pull up to McDonald's and Taco Bell, you gonna see my sticker sitting out there. You know, and I'm putting my face on or my logo on anything that I can.
We ain't getting no Lex gear. I feel left out.
I will bring you some Lex gear. I promise you.
Matter of fact, I got
something for you in my bag over here. After the show, I got you.
I need a medium so I look fucking shredded in that bitch.
We'll get you an extra medium.
It's like a walking advertisement. I walk around in my shit all the time. It really is.
You'll be surprised how many times I go into a store and people be like, "Is that you on your shirt?" And when they stare at it and I can tell they're trying to figure out how to do this. And then they figure it out, and then they say, "I'm about to follow you right now." And then they get on their phone, and
that's how it works.
What's your Instagram? What's your Facebook? Yeah, and I get them to watch my show. Hey, watch! I got a show on 7 o'clock. Right, blah, blah. Right. You know, like, and that's all from just wearing the shirt. Like, you go in it, and they see it, and they constantly see it. Mm-hmm. I have people who tell me all the time. Even Big Rich Green told me. He said, "Before I met you, I knew that logo. Before I knew who you were, I seen that logo everywhere." And I said that because I will stick my logo on anything I can. I'm trying to work out a deal with Justin to put it on the back of his head.
But I'm gonna get a tattoo on this bitch.
I'm saying we're gonna work it out.
I will
merchandise anything I can.
It's all about that because you know what I do if I'm not wearing what I'm wearing, I'm wearing other comic stuff, and you know everybody on the show. It's people that we personally mess with.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like,
I appreciate the love.
Man. Yeah, for sure. So, like, the wrestling was a surprise, and it's like...
I'm still shocked.
I'm shocked, and, you know, because I was on it. I'm like...
But now it's for 14 years. It ain't just for the wrestling. It's for 14 years.
No, it was a real deal. It was like, you know, for me, it's like... You know, in my mind, I was calculating it. I was like, man, you know, because I ran into a couple of these guys, like, you know, Sky Hall before. Mm-hmm. And who was he with? I can't think
Nash.
Of it. Yes, that's exactly who Kevin it was. Nash. It was Kevin Nash. Because I told Sky Hall, like, I'm like, Razor Ramon. And I was like, is that Triple H? He's like, he looked at me like, that's Sky Hall, man. Like, and I was like, I haven't watched wrestling. He said, let me guess. And since she was a little boy, because I guess he figured it out because I called him Razor Ramon. You know what I mean? And that's how long it been. And they looked like, I mean, they was walking like they was in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like
a toll on your body, man.
And I'm like, man, is it worth it? Because you like heroes to kids. Mm-hmm. You get you an action figure and you get you a spot on a video game.
Yeah.
Is it?
And that's if you get to that point.
Is it worth it?
You know what I mean? But it's part of you. It's fun. It's something it you want to do.
If you know how to market yourself, it's worth it. Yeah. Because you can always... See, here's the thing. Like, Hulk Hogan is all old and broke up and everything.
Yeah. But he's still Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
They're going to pay Hulk Hogan. You say you want Hulk Hogan to come do an in-store appearance, they're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ric Flair, he can barely move around. He can barely woo anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you say Ric Flair is going to be at Barnes and Nobles, people are coming.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if you can market yourself, it's worth it because now you always have some type of sustainable income.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you. Mm-hmm. You know, you are your sustainable income. All you got to do now is go be you.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would say it's worth it. It's the only time that I would say it's not worth it is if you don't appreciate what you have when you have it and you don't know how to look for the future. Mm-hmm. You know,
but that's something completely different.
There are some guys who some people think that I'm gonna wrestle forever and this money is gonna come forever.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not.
Not
you know, eventually your body is gonna, if you don't shut it down, your body gonna shut it down for you.
You don't want that.
There are times where I still go to some of the wrestling matches and the wrestling events, even the indie ones, and I look and I say, I do not miss putting my body through that.
I can imagine.
I don't miss hitting the mat. I don't miss hitting that corner. I don't miss none of that. I don't, you know, and people ask me, they say, do you get the itch? Nope.
I ain't gonna lie. Every time I watch football, I miss everything.
Some wrestling is more extreme than that.
Yeah.
Like with the tax and...
Yeah, see, you know. I never was... I've done... In 14 years, I did 3 hardcore matches.
You never cut yourself?
I never cut myself. I've been cut, but I never cut myself. I took a guitar across the head once, and the shark cut my nose, and you know, that kind of stuff. I did a match where it was a bunch of tacks and broken glass, but I never actually hit it, like the other guys that were in the match did.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't really into the... The face is the moneymaker. We can't mess this up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can't...
Yeah,
I used to tell them, like, I don't do the hardcore stuff, man. Y'all can have it.
Yeah, I agree with that shit.
ICP had a wrestling thing. Did you mess with them at all?
No.
Okay.
No. I've had some guys who I worked with that did work with them, mm-hmm. and it was always, and I mean, I can't say for sure because I've never been with them, but I've always heard bad things.
Mm.
Like, you know, just...
That's the insane clown posse. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The juggalos and all.
Juggalo that. Champion shit wrestling. Huh. You know, that's what they used to call it. Like, I was never really into like the juggalos and all that stuff. So it never really.
You don't look like you drink Faygo though.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Faygo's not bad.
It's not. It explodes when you shoot it.
Yeah.
Well.
But you know, I just never, anyway. You know, it's just like, you know, you're not into certain stuff. You know?
Right.
Like,
no, I get
you know,
it.
You can, like you do a comedy event, but you know what I'm saying? Let's just say they do a drag show.
Yeah.
It's
just
not, it might be your thing, it might not be.
Nah.
But you understand it's still comedy.
I get
but
it.
It's not your kind of comedy.
Yeah.
It's still Juggalo Championship Wrestling and Insane Clown Posse, it's still wrestling.
Right.
It's just not my kind of wrestling.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Because you know, I always say, and I don't know. You know, I don't know if I should put Justin in this, but I always say, if you don't have lights, sound, a stage, a place to perform an audience, you may not see us.
Why not?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
why not?
Because, you know, it's your brand that you're trying to protect.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, I like to do shows wherever, you know what I mean? If somebody wants me on the show,
sometimes you gotta be picky, man. All coochie ain't good coochie, man.
It ain't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Sometimes you gotta be picky. There's no, but
that's why I'm not out all the time either. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. So there are guys that won't turn down a show, and they're known as, you know, show whores.
Right.
You know, like
microphone
thing. You microphone thing, the shit like, you know.
Yeah.
And that's fine if that's your thing, but you gotta understand that it doesn't make you that much of a novelty anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make you that much of a draw.
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't, you might see a Martin Lawrence come to Cleveland, or you might see a Miss Pat, or you might see a Mike Epps or a Cat Williams, but they're not here every month.
Right. Yeah.
They're not even here every 6 months.
Right.
They might come every couple of years.
Yeah.
Because they got to give you a chance to miss them.
Right.
If you're on every show, and this is one of the things as a promoter, I absolutely hate. I understand why they do it, but I absolutely hate when comics, they at the beginning of the month, they put a flyer out that has all of their shows for the month.
Right.
Absolutely hate it. Because what it does, it gives people too many options. Okay? Right. It's like, okay, fine. If I don't go to this show on Friday and see Cool C, I just go next week.
Yeah.
And then next week come, well, I can't make this one, but he got another one next week. I just go to... It's giving them too many options.
But as a comic standpoint, it makes it look like...
I understand why you're doing it, but from a... You ask from a promoter standpoint, it sucks.
Yeah.
Because I want you... See, I got eight events lined up. You might only hear me talk about two.
Right.
Okay, I got eight of them lined up, but I'm only talking about the next two because I want you to think that these next two, if you don't come to these shows, you might miss some shit.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to tell you that I got this, 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 and this lined up because I'm not giving you that many options. Right. That's people are fickle like that.
Right.
You know,
people
are fickle and they're lazy. People are lazy.
Right.
People don't know what they're going to do. I tell people all the time, I don't trip on comics who can't sell tickets. I don't trip on that because
it's hard to sell tickets.
Because people don't know what they're going to do from one day to the next. It's hard for somebody to say, you got an event, what is it, August the 3rd, and today is July the 10th.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm going to be doing in the next 30 days.
Yeah.
So I'll wait until closer to the time and then buy my ticket.
Right.
So you understand what I'm saying? If I even buy a ticket, or I might just say, F it, I'll pay the extra $5 at the door just to make sure that I don't waste my money by buying a ticket that I can't go to an event to.
Right.
People are lazy like that. You'll have every intention of going until the time comes.
Yeah,
you don't feel like leaving. You know what I'm saying? I had every intention of going to Justin's show, but then today is the show.
And
I had a bad day. I didn't sleep good last night. I don't feel like going.
To piggyback on what you said, I get what you're saying. Like, especially when you're dealing with adults and you're dealing with people that got families and kids, you got to actually prepare to go to this show.
Exactly.
You got to get babysitters and things like that.
Yeah.
And to also, like, I want to get your opinion on this because a lot of people that I respect, they disagree with me on this. But this is the thing that I did when I was doing my show. It was like if you was performing back then, when I was doing my thing, mm-hmm. I would have called you and said, Lex, come and do the Lex Vegas. And that's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to bring nobody. because the audience is going to be there for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I know that, you know how to draw the crowd, and it was times that, I knew how to draw the crowd too well. It was like people was getting turned away at the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I understand that the promoting is a different animal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of the comedy shows, they do a lot of this, what I call lazy promotion.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's lazy promotion when you just posting online, like on Facebook and Instagram and what's the other thing? Twitter.
Twitter.
You actually gotta go Which out there go and reach Twitter, out to dude. People.
You gotta reach out. You gotta reach out to people. People like to feel
invited.
Invited. They like to feel like I send out personal. I was literally getting your inbox and I just said, "Hey, you come to the show?
Right.
What you doing next Friday? I got an event coming up. I like it if you come. And it makes people feel wanted. Like you want them there. Like I'm not just sending you a message that I just sent to 99 other people.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? I will literally, and you don't even have to. It don't have to be that personal. You don't have to spend that much time. You can copy and paste it for all I care. But you sent it to me.
Right.
Send it to me. You can copy and paste it. And it could be a general message. Hey, I got an event. If you ain't doing nothing, pull up.
Yeah.
That made you feel like something.
You're invited.
But at the same time, I tell the comics, I say, there's no such thing as too much promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell the comics, I said, unless I'm on the lineup myself, they're not coming to see me. They're coming to see you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to do my best to get the best crowd that I can there for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need to make it known that you want people to come see you.
Yeah, I'm saying?
It pisses me off when I look at I could look at your post and you post and say, hey, I'm doing a comedy show at such and such an event on this day. And somebody in your feed say, I didn't know you was a comic. Why the fuck not? Why not? Why don't they know you're a comic? Why are you so afraid to tell people what you do? Take a sip on that one because because it happens. You got people who, like you said, they'll post a flyer and then just let it sit there. So sometimes people don't even know what it is. But there are people who will literally see people who do comedy and they'll post something. They'll say, "Hey, I'm doing a show, I'm doing an event, whatever," or they'll mention comedy and there'll be somebody in the comments and they'll say, "Hey, I didn't know you did comedy. I didn't know you was a wrestler."
That part.
That shit aggravates the hell out of me. Why don't they know? Everybody should know what you do.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? They know that in the bank. I don't even consider myself a comedian like that. In the bank that I use, when I walk in there, they don't even know my name. They call me the comedian. Because I'm always in there talking shit. Yeah. I'm always in there promoting my events. Hey, I got an event coming up, y'all. If y'all ain't doing nothing this weekend, y'all need to come through. Nice. They know what I do. But they even know my name. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why, if you're so passionate about this, why are you so afraid of it?
And that's another thing that and I tell everybody, including myself, I'm talking to me and I'm telling it as well. I'm saying everybody that I encounter is, I'm treating them as if I want them to come pay to see me perform or be a subscriber to my podcast.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, what's the point of doing a podcast if you're not telling people about your podcast?
Getting people to watch and listen.
Yeah, people, what's the purpose of that? Why are you doing a podcast if you're not telling people about your podcast?
It's like me, man. Sometimes I just, like you said, I'm talking about Kevin. You know what I mean? Shout out to Kevin Ford. You don't want to talk about yourself. You know what I'm saying?
But you got to, man. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's going to promote you like you.
Nobody.
I had a conversation. People are incapable of going as hard for you as you would for your own self.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Your brand, whatever you're doing, your event, your brand, your whatever you got, nobody's going to go as hard because they can't.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
Because I don't care as much as you do.
They don't. Basically. They don't. Yeah. If I was to say, Cordell, I need you to pick up these tickets for me. It's imperative that I get these tickets, but I just got so much to do. If you can pick them up, I need these tickets, but I gotta have them. You say, okay, cool, I'm gonna get them. Now the time comes, and all of a sudden, your baby mama tripping, your kids sick, you know what I'm saying, the car acting up. You go, in your mind, you like, he's just gonna have to understand, there's too much going on.
Yeah.
Now, if they were your tickets and you had to have them, you'd figure out a way to get them.
Yeah, right?
You'd figure it out. Yeah. No matter how much it inconvenienced you, if I got to be late, if I got to run my gas out, if I got to do this, I'm going to do it
because
it's yours.
Yeah.
You, nobody's capable of going as hard for you as you would for yourself. And that's facts.
Big facts. Damn.
Yeah.
Those are bars. Those are bars.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, you know, I come from the era of when East Coast New York hip hop
ran
the hip hop scene. And the reason why they stayed on top is because people supported one another.
Yeah.
It was in each other's videos.
Absolutely.
And even it's almost unfair to say it's not shocking to see any rapper or any rock band with a Wu-Tang shirt on right now.
Yeah. Not at all.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Dude, because
Wu forever. Yeah.
Kidding me? Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
But it's like with Spike Lee's tour, is like, you know, it's comedians in the game. I'm like, why didn't you see it? How many people you know personally that you can see in touch got a special out that you can watch?
Right.
Why didn't you see
it? Right.
You can reach out and touch Spike Lee. You can slap him and say, I ain't like that shit, if you wanted to. Why wouldn't you watch it?
I can give you my reason why they wouldn't watch it.
Why was that?
Because they don't have one.
Yeah.
The one thing is hard. It's hard for people to see when you got somebody who, let's just say, we all did events. We all threw events.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Justin, he got 4 events coming up. I got 8. You got 1. My 8 and his 4 make your 1 look like you're not really doing much.
Right.
So you're not going as hard promoting our stuff.
Right.
As we are promoting yours.
Yeah.
Because it makes you look like the weaker link. So a lot of people, see, the thing is, a lot of these cats, they see there are certain comics that are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you look up, you see them. They on the spot. They on the flyer. They on this flyer. And they got 8 flyers that they putting out. You know what I'm saying? All the different stuff. You got 1.
You know?
And it's making you look like they better than you.
Right.
You know? And that's because it's public perception.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with music. I had a conversation where somebody said that they didn't like Jay-Z. And Jay-Z is my favorite rapper.
Mm.
But they didn't like Jay-Z because they said he changed the game and made it look like if you didn't have money, you wasn't shit.
Mm.
And I said, but you got to think about that. I said, you're trying to sell records. This is what you're trying to do. So if you got money because you're selling records, but your record's supposed to be good, but you're not selling it.
Yeah.
Why? There's nobody buying your record.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It is about the money. It's about the people who come to see. It's about the work that you put in. So the more that you're doing, the more it looks like you're on top.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You might be just barely floating. You might be keeping your head above water, but you're so busy that people see you. They see you. They see you. They see you. They know that you out here. Mm-hmm. But when we see us three together, but he doing this XYZ, he doing XYZ, and you just doing B.
Mm-hmm.
Your beat don't look like shit.
Right.
And that gets to a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
It makes them want to kind of pull back, and then they make excuses. Oh well, I wasn't doing nothing because I was, it took some time, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. You understand what I'm saying? It is what it is, but you gotta give the same effort whether it's 1 or it's 1,000.
Right.
You know, if you got 1 event, promote the shit out that 1 event.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's easier to do 1 event than it is to do 8.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can promote that. You can use all your energy promoting this 1 event, but I got to spread this shit out through the next 7.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's a lot harder than you think. You got 1 event, plug the shit out of it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to help you. That's what my platform is for. I tell people all the time, whatever you got going on, send it to me. I'll work it into the show somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
But not everybody does.
Not everybody does.
You know what I'm saying? That's an
unfortunate thing, man. Because, you know, I like I say, like, for example, the people that I have on the show or asked to be a part of the show, I really can see them doing major and big things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like all the conversations that we have now is going to be like gold in like 10 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
In 10 years from now, it's going to be gold because those names are going to ring bells and mean something. This is going to air Tuesday.
Okay.
Do you have anything that you want to promote that you want people to see? or go follow or anything coming up.
So we promote on Tuesday. That means, you know, first off, shout out to my producer, Timbuktu. He does his show, Timbuktu Tuesdays on Redline Radio. Tuesday on 6 p.m. Let's see. We got the next Unapologetically Funny, which is my monthly comedy showcase that I do at the Old World Tavern in Euclid, Ohio.
Shout out
to
Mike.
That's going to be on July the 27th.
Okay.
8 p.m. That's always a free show. That's one thing.
Flyer
that
for that?
I don't have the flyer yet, and that's only because I had a host, and then they backed out at the last minute because they had to.
But it's fun. It's an issue that you got to deal with. It's an issue that people don't realize you got to deal with. But I have the lineup.
I'm just waiting to secure another host for that particular event. So that's why I haven't done the flyer yet.
Okay.
By that time, we'll be working on the next.
I was just going to go bam, but. We ain't got it. Sorry,
we're working on the next Up and Smoke event because we'll be even had it by the time this airs because it's actually this Friday.
Okay.
So
how often do you have those?
I do those once a month. I do those every 2 months, actually.
So look out for that.
Up and Smoke. Yeah, it's at Lounges, Cleveland downtown. It's the premier 420 friendly comedy event.
All right.
I give the first 20 through the door, I give them a free pre-roll.
We
raffle off an ounce of weed. You know what I'm saying? Somebody can win a weed.
What the fuck, man? Comedy?
You coming, man. So we had the next one. So the next one, actually, I'm actually give y'all the exclusive because I ain't even said it on my show yet. But it will be February. September the 20th, and it'll be an all-female lineup.
Shout out to all the female comedians, one of the only
promoters in the city that does all-female lineups, man. But we got some very, very dope female comics, man. So by that time,
I'm gonna let you grab that, Lex, because when I was doing it, I like to highlight.
I said one of the only. Come on, man. I ain't gonna do it like that. I know you do your thing. And there are some other. I believe Aunt Morrow and Dave Flint. Shout out to them. I believe that they're doing a all female.
What's G Dubs and them crew? What's they called?
Females of Comedy.
Yeah,
Females of Comedy. Shout out to them too. Shout out to GW Nail, KC. So there's a lot of dope females in comedy, and I love to actually do a every once in a while. I just do maybe like twice a year. I'll do a lineup where we just do all females, where you know the females get a chance to show you that they can rock.
They're doing it.
So by the time this airs, we'll be heading into that.
Okay,
and I'll be putting out feelers for that. I got a big event coming in October that we're just now finalizing. It's going to be at the Near West Theater. We're doing a night with the grown folks.
Okay.
We're doing it's going to be a 30 and over crowd. We're doing dinner. We're doing comedy. We're doing some jazz music and everything. It's going to be real nice. So we got a lot of things coming up. Like I said, end of the summer, we're going to start filming season 2 for Heroin Ash.
Nice. We'll get the link. So you said that's on.
It's on Woku TV.
Woku TV.
WOCOO TV.
Okay.
And actually, it's the number one show on Woku TV right now.
Okay.
All right,
Star, right.
You know,
you just started that one.
I'm one of the lead characters. There's myself. I play a character named Rome.
Okay.
There's Raymel Adams. Shout out to him. He plays Taz. And there's Lantania J, who she plays Jay.
Okay.
And we're the three main characters.
Nice.
And there's a lot of independent comics that are in Heroin Ave. That was a big thing that we were able to give a lot of shouts out. Like Timbuktu is in
it. Shout out to Timbuktu.
Keith Silly's in it.
Shout out to Keith.
CJ Starr's in
shout
it.
Shout out to CJ. I can imagine all of them in that show.
And it's a very dope show. If you haven't checked it out, please check out Heroin Ave. And it's a dope show. It's
nice.
Like nothing like it, man. You know, I didn't kill like eight motherfuckers.
Uh-oh.
I'm catching bodies.
Don't take it home with you.
My right hand CO, the corner guy, he in there. There's a lot of musical talent in there. There's the boy Soul City, Jamal McWhorter.
Okay.
He signed a Dipset.
Okay.
There's De Niro Season. He's in it. Eric Chill. Vince Pirelli. He's in it.
And look, a lot of people don't know Vince is a dancer, a trained dancer.
Yeah, right.
is. He's in everything, though, man.
Right, right. It's a lot of Raymel. Got to shout out Raymel Adams because he gave an opportunity to a lot of independent comics.
Shout out to Raymel.
There's a lot of talent in Heroin Half. So
yeah,
and we're getting ready to start filming season two. I'm excited about that.
Dope.
So the Midnight Pocket Podcast, brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services, help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
That's right. Where can I find you?
They can find me, like I said, you can find me on Facebook, Lex Vegas. You can find me on Instagram, Lex Taught Me. You can find me on X, Twitter, LexV520. You know what I'm saying? You can find me at your mom's house. You know what I'm saying? I like cougars, too. I like cougars, so it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Especially if she can cook. You know what I'm saying? Pot roast and chill.
Got a hot tool on that bitch.
Nah, y'all can keep the hot tool. You know what I'm saying? I'm old school. Give me the Gawk Gawk 3000. You know what I'm saying? You give me the Gawk Gawk 3000, y'all can keep the hot tool.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying? Real quick, what the fuck, man? Some chick's talking about spitting on a dick and she's famous.
Hey,
it's amazing. All the good clips we put out there like that. And this, whatever. Shout out to you, girl. Hey.
Like, where can they find you, Jay?
Spit on it. You can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms, people.
I am the_great_CoREE. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both at the Midnight Pocket Podcast.
That's right.
Shout out to OCB.
Shout out to OCB. This bitch.
Yo, yo, yo.
I can't walk.
Oh, crippled bastard. Hey.
Appreciate it.
I would love to, you know, to thank our guest, Mr. Lex Vegas.
Thank y'all for having me, man.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
Good time, man.
That's
a very good time.
Hey, appreciate it, everybody out there. Peace out.
Peace.
Midnight Podcast. Midnight Podcast. Midnight Pocket Podcast. Midnight Pocket. Midnight Pocket Podcast.